Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q1 FY24 results conference call of GSCL Limited, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Meet Vora, Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for giving us this opportunity to host them. We have with us today Mr. R. S. Jalan, Managing Director, and Mr. Raman Chopra, CFO and Executive Director of Finance. I shall now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to GSCL's earnings call for the first quarter ended 30th June 2023. Our results and presentation has been uploaded on stock exchange and company's website. For this call, I am accompanied by our CFO, Raman, along with Manu and Abhishek from IR and the finance team. In general, the soda ash market are soft. Demand from some of the regions and end user segments has been weak, while new capacity coming live are now creating additional supply. As a result, soda ash market is oversupplied in certain regions, and this has put a downward pressure on prices. In China, overall soda ash supply-demand situation is balanced. Demand is up by 7% on YoY basis from January to till May, YTD, driven by the solar glass and lithium carbonate through. Other segments, such as flat glass, remain soft due to slow real estate sector. Soda ash producers' inventory has decreased, despite the producers' overall operating rates are high. Exports have increased, especially to Asia and Africa, and is up by 21% YoY. Market have reacted calmly to the new 1.5 million metric ton natural soda ash capacity in Inner Mongolia, which came on stream in June end. Another line of same capacity is expected to come on stream soon. In the recent development, authorities have decided to shift from energy control to carbon control, which shall have even bigger opportunity for carbon-free energy, such as solar. The total solar glass capacity in China has reached an estimated of 100,000 metric ton per day, which requires approximately around 7.5 million metric tons of soda ash per annum at full utilization. In Americas, soda ash production is down by 5% on YTD, January-April 2023, while consumption is down by 6%, and export are flat, resulting in a higher inventory level. Demand from chemicals saw an increase, while demand from flat glass dropped. Some container glass units has been closed. Americas region, excluding the U.S., is quite resilient on soda ash import. Trade data points to a weaker trend in import, thus the underlying demand in South America is weak. In Europe, demand is soft, most part, while soda ash supply continues to be readily available, resulting in a surplus soda ash availability across the region. Container glass demand has recently declined, while flat glass and detergent demand remains sluggish. Flat glass is experiencing a strong competition due to increased import from Asia. Recovery may happen in fourth quarter of this year. In Turkey, soda ash demand has been weak. Turkish export has increased by 4% YoY till YTD May. This is likely extra soda ash capacity in Turkey, following Sinop 0.4 million ton expansion. Realization has reduced mainly due to combination of oversupply situation, reduction in input cost, new supplies from China and U.S., and supply chain cost below pre-COVID level. The global situation is likely to remain same for the next one or two quarters. China, which is the largest soda ash producer and consumer, is likely to remain stable going forward. Demand may improve from additional solar glass capacities coming on stream and on some of the soda ash plant going under maintenance. The Central Bank of China has reduced lending rate in June 23 by 10 basis points to stimulate economic growth and revive the real estate demand. The Indian soda ash market has been tepid. Demand in India has been strong for flat, container and solar glass. Upcoming solar glass capacities are slightly delayed due to cyclone and are likely to be commissioned in H2 of this fiscal year. However, the ongoing monsoon season will contribute to a decrease in the demand for detergent. Soda ash inventory have remained high due to increased imports. As a result, the prices in India has decreased and we have taken a price correction from November 2022 by till quarter one and by another 5% in July, total to 20%. We see this as a healthy and necessary correction for domestic industry to remain competitive and also pass on the benefit of reduced input cost, especially the energy prices to customers. We continue to focus on implementation of various growth initiatives. We are making progress on the greenfield project and we are already making progress with the basic engineering activities. Various growth projects for vacuum salt, salt in improvement and digitization are well progressing ahead. Thank you. And I'll hand over to Raman for the financial.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, everyone, and I welcome all to our earning call for the first quarter FY23-24 ended on 30th June 2023. Results for this quarter comprises of inorganic chemical business as the demerger of textile was completed on 1st April 2023. The revenue for the quarter 1 FY24 came in at rupees 1029 crore. This represents a decline of 11% year-on-year basis compared to 1153 crore in the corresponding quarter of last year. On a sequential basis, revenue has declined by 10% from 1141 crore. The reason for this decline is mainly due to reduction in soda ash volume as well as realization during the quarter. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 310 crore, which is a decline of around 15% from 364 crore in Q1 of FY23. On a sequential basis, this represents a decline of 16% from rupees 370 crore. For the quarter, EBITDA margin came in at 30.1% compared to 31.6% in Q1 FY23 and 32.5% in Q4 FY23. During the quarter, there is an exceptional gain of 219 crore arising from the accounting treatment as per the scheme of demerger for textile business. PAT from the continued operations including exception gain stood at 426 crore rupees as compared to 310 crore in Q1 FY23 and 251 crore in Q4 FY23. For the quarter ended 30th June, we generated a cash profit of 231 crore rupees after tax. We are a debt-free company and at the end of the first quarter, our gross debt stood at 302 crore and we had a cash surplus of 15 crore rupees, resulting in a net cash surplus of 213 crore. With this, I conclude my comment and I would now request the moderator to open the forum for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Jainam Gelani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for this opportunity. So I just have a few questions.
Mr. Gelani, can you use your handset mode, please?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. So what was our volume growth quarter on quarter and year on year, please?
See, this quarter we have a lower volume because you remember we have in the last call also we said that because of some discount in our plant we have kind of a lower volume production. We are almost on the production side We are down by around 10 to 12% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And however, in the sales side also, we are down by approximately around 13% in this quarter.
And year on year?
Sorry?
And what would be it, what would be the volume growth or degrowth year on year?
Year on year also, if you could compare from the last year, last year fourth quarter, we are down by around 10% on the sales. Of course, on the production, we are almost at the same level.
Okay, sir. And so what is our volume guidance for the FY24 and FY25? How do we wish to grow over the next 2 years?
See, 23, 24, probably we are seeing some downward trend in the volume, particularly on the domestic side. We'll be down roughly around maybe around 7% in the sales side as compared to the 22-23.
Okay, sir. And sir, do we see further reduction in the prices with the commissioning of the Mongolia facility?
Yes, if I can say that the 3-4 things I just wanted to kind of highlight. On the pricing front, we have all, like I said in my opening remarks, we have taken around 20% in reduction since November 2022. We definitely see further some reduction, not a very significant one, but some reduction definitely will be there. However, the raw material prices are also softening. So probably this should be in a position to compensate this difference, barring the some inventory what we have of the raw material. This impact will not be, should not be there for the reduction.
Okay, so would you be able to quantify, like, could it be only 5%, 5 to 10% decline in pricing, or do you expect more?
In the same range of around 5%, my understanding. Of course, if I look at from the current context.
Okay, sir. And so could you please help us understand the import trends, as imports are cheaper compared to domestic manufacturers?
So if you look at in terms of our pricing strategy, we always kind of have somewhere we benchmark on the competition, and the competition, one of the competition is also your import. And this reduction which you have seen, as I said, is primarily because of the import coming in at a cheaper price. And also the supply chain cost, which is coming down. So both these factors, and along with the raw material cost also. So probably I would say that at this point of a time, we are closer to the kind of a import prices. Any further reduction or some gap, probably we need to look at slightly more pricing reduction, which should be in the range of around 5%.
So the imports are only 5% cheaper than our products currently?
You see, depending upon, it depends on, because we definitely get some premium on our product being a domestic supply chain. So if we keep that into mind, then yes, I see that kind of a range.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir. And thank you for this opportunity. Sir, firstly, if you could elaborate on where are we in terms of our greenfield capex, sir, and what are the current timelines, any new timelines we have set for the implementation and the commissioning of the project, sir?
Yes, Sakeji, if I can divide the total greenfield project into various zones. On one side, if you look at which are the most crucial thing, one is the environmental clearances. So one good news is that out of the two things which was required has been cleared. And hopefully in next 1 month, the proposal from Gujarat will move to the central government. And we are expecting in next 5 to 6 months, we should get an approval of the environmental clearance. So I would say that, yes, some delay has happened, but now the things are much under control on the environment side. So we call it, the one is the forest clearances stage one, that we have got it. Similarly, at a local level, at GPCB level, GC JDMA clearances. So that meeting has happened on 4th of August, and hopefully in next few days, we'll be getting their concurrence to move the application to Delhi. Now come to the second point, which is again the land, which is again very crucial. We had some significant improvement on the private land during this quarter. On the government land also, the proposal has been moved from a local level to the Gujarat government. Hopefully, things will now start moving into there also. Once that happens, then I think these are the two crucial things which kind of define the timeline for the project. On the engineering side, on the basic engineering side, significant improvement has been done. We have appointed a consultant, the initial report has come in, we have given the feedback, and our team, a large team, has gone to see the some of the world largest soda ash producers in outside India, and they have kind of a new, because we are talking about new technology, different sizes, so all those things they have gone and they have seen. So in a way, we would say that even the vendor identification to a great extent has been done. So hopefully these are the three things which are there. In timeline wise, I would say that once the environmental clearances is being given, probably it will take around two and a half years to 3 years kind of a time to implement them. Because all the basic thing on identification of the vendors, everything has been done. All basic preparation has been done. Once we get that, we can start the work.
So, sir, on the amount to be spent earlier, I think so we have spent some 100 or 150 crore on the land acquisition. Other than that, sir, how much capital work in progress have gone through for this greenfield, and for FY 2023-24, what have been earmarked as the amount to be spent?
See, so far as the land is there, we have not even spent 100 crores also. We have invested around only 55 crore till now, and maybe marginal amount on the other things, which is very, very insignificant. And we normally, those kind of amount we take into our revenue in the operation itself. We don't capitalize those items, right, Raman?
Yeah, very yeah. Small. Yeah.
So basically, and that's a very, very insignificant amount. So in a way, you can say that the land investment which we have done is around 55 crores. We have not projected, I think we have projected around 100 crores for 23-24 to be spent on the greenfield.
Correct. Sir, as you mentioned about the softening of the soda ash prices, especially because of the oversupplied market, oversupplied market globally, and also expecting further reduction, I think so, in the month of August also we took the further cut, which has now totaled to 20% going ahead. So, accepting these into concept, we had this EBITDA trajectory of from 360 70 crore to 310 crore. So what should likely be the EBITDA trajectory going ahead, taking into account that the further cut is also expected in the near term, and also there is a benefit of softening of the raw material prices going ahead, especially which will be negated by the inventory which we are carrying currently. So what should we look forward in terms of these numbers going ahead?
You see, my understanding is that approximately the range of the EBITDA margin should be in the range of around, say, 28 to 31% kind of a range, and you will be able to see that range. So it's not going to be significantly lower than those numbers.
Right, sir. And Raman sir, for this quarter, I think this exceptional gain item, what should be the tax incidence on the same?
There is no taxation on this.
Okay, so this is only a book entry as of.
Yeah, this is only a book entry because the entry has to be passed on the fair valuation of the spinning business. So it's a gap between the fair valuation and the book value, net of stamp duty. So that is a gain which has been recorded in the financial in the books of soda ash, a chemical business.
Correct. And sir, what have been the net tax outgo for this quarter? So how much has actual tax we have paid? Because we have done the provision at around 70 crore. Hello?
See, out of again 71 crore, we have paid 27 crore rupees tax, advance tax this quarter.
27 crore is the advance tax payment for this quarter.
Yeah.
Okay. And that,
Mr. Kapoor, I request you to join back the queue, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I will join the queue, ma'am. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer queries from all participants, please restrict your questions to two at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We'll take our next question from the line of Riddhesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a couple of questions around the pricing. You know, we were expecting a few quarters ago that the prices to continue to be reasonably firm. And understand that there's some amount of extra supply which is to come in and some amount of demand slow down because of the global economy. But, you know, actually, I mean, what is, are you kind of giving us the confidence that over a longer term period that the demand supply imbalance will be in favor of the, you know, the manufacturer?
I think, Riteshji, you have very rightly said, I have always been saying this, if you look at the way the solar or I would say green energy initiatives are being been done, recently you must have noticed that the government of Gujarat has given a large chunk of land to various industries for green hydrogen. And for that, the soda ash is the major raw material for the glass. Similarly, if you look at globally also, as I just mentioned in my opening remark, in China alone, around 7.5 million tons of the soda ash is required only for the solar thing. And lithium carbonate is separate. So barring this, this I have been saying all along in my last 4 or 5 years, that barring this temporary blip which happens, long term there is a robust demand situation and robust margin situation in this business. So therefore, from a long term perspective, you are right, there is a good growth possibility there in this.
So is it just that this soda supply has come ahead of the solar supply, and as the solar glass supply comes in, we'd expect a more of balanced market?
Yes, Riteshji, if I can say in a way, like I said, in China, which is the largest producer, 40% of the global production is happening there. Only the real estate, which is kind of a slightly on the lower side, and the government of China has taken some initiatives on that. Some stimulus has been announced. So hopefully, I think that once that demand of the real estate improved, you will see a kind of a surge in the demand in China as well. And similarly, so in a way, if I can say so, this kind of a small gap between the demand and supply for a short period of time will surely happen, and that will kind of impact some time for the oversupply situation, but that will get neutralized very soon.
Got it. So, and the other question was, you know, we have a reasonable amount of you know, cash on books, and our business also, despite slowdown, will still generate a large amount of free cash flow. Just wanted to know, is the intent to just, I mean, keep the free cash flow for the greenfield expansion, or are you guys looking to do some sort of a buyback or a dividend?
No, Riteshji, definitely buyback will definitely be considered an appropriate time, because we always believe in the rewarding the shareholders, and you know that in the last few years, 2 buyback has been done. And this definitely will happen. Timeline, this will be very difficult for me to kind of outline the timeline, but an appropriate time, definitely it will happen. Because as you rightly said, cash flow wise or the greenfield project wise, we are well positioned to fund that capex, and for that we don't have to kind of have a big reserves of the cash generation at this point of a time to kind of preserve for that. So surely this will happen.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Gandhi, you are not audible, sir.
No, I said thank you. I'll just rejoin you.
Okay, thank you. We have our next question from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you very much. Going back to the numbers you shared on the decline in revenue and the decline in volumes. If you're looking at 11% decline in revenue and 13% decline in sales volume, it means your prices are up about 2% YOY. That doesn't add up with the kind of decline in prices. Can you just explain what, you know, if you look at the decline in revenue this in 1Q 2024 on a YOY basis, can you break it up in terms of the impact of the change in volume and change in price?
You have that ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Your question is on the revenue side, if I understood correctly?
Basically, I want to know what is the split in terms of the impact of the change in volume and change in price leading to this 11% decline. What is the, you know?
Yeah. If you look at, you know, the decline in the revenue compared to the same quarter of last year, largely it is driven by the volume reduction because the volumes have declined by 13%. Okay, the large impact of that is, or I would say that is the only reason of decline in the revenue, because of that. If you look at compared to the previous quarter, Q4, the decline is on account of both, the impact is both in terms of the volume as well as reduction in the prices realization. It's a combination of, you can say, 60% volume impact and 40% realization impact.
Okay. Now, the second thing is, now if you look at the current trend, and then the, in terms of your cost structure, when do you see the cost getting aligned with the current prices for your, you know, energy and freight so that in terms of the decline in prices you have taken, you'll be able to report an improvement in margins on a per ton basis. If you can just share some thoughts in terms of when you expect to get the margins per ton back to normal levels based on the benefits of the savings in input costs and energy costs and freight, which is not fully captured in the first quarter.
See, I would say, if you look at, in terms of both, you see we have some advantage in the, even in the selling side also at this point of a time, because some of the contracts are for a longer period of time. To that extent, the, whatever the raw material inventory impact which we have, has been compensated on that. In a way, you can say that the margin of this kind of, the margin what we have currently, should be in a position, we will, should be in a position to kind of maintain if the prices of the soda ash does not go down very significantly from here.
Okay. That means if you are able to increase the volumes to normal levels, you will be back to the normal margin trajectory. Is that the right way to understand?
Yeah. If you look at in terms of the percentage, yes, you are right on that.
Okay. Looking at the long-term structure, in terms of the cost structure for the industry, in terms of cash costs, your trona-based capacity cash cost used to be around $150, perhaps gone up to $200 based on whatever you see. Yeah, is that going to be a challenge in terms of getting further price increases even if the demand goes up? Especially because, you know, if you're looking at the Chinese capacity addition, we don't know what the cash cost is going to be. What is your sense in terms of the overall cost structure for the industry going forward? To what extent it will give you that confidence in terms of the pricing power and improvement in margins if the demand supply were to, you know, get tighter? What is your sense on that?
You see, basically, if you look at this way, today, like you rightly said, the cash cost of the green soda, which is your basically the natural soda ash, their cost, along with the supply chain cost to the consumption center, probably we are closer to the cost what we have versus the cost what they have. Any upside into the demand, and as you know that the soda ash capacity does not get built on a quickly basis. Any upsurge on the demand side probably will definitely give a benefit of increase in the soda ash pricing as well as the margin.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Resham Jain from DSP Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. I have a few questions. First one is, in terms of existing infra, you are doing several initiatives in terms of salt yield, some solar capacity or solar power you are adding up, and sodium bicarbonate also capacity increasing. So once all these three things come up, and in case if there is anything else which you can do in the existing plant, if you can just help to understand what kind of improvement in EBITDA could happen because of all these initiatives.
See, like you rightly said, if you look at the salt yield improvement, which I have given the indication in the past also, probably that the numbers are significant, and some benefit you will see during this year as well, because some benefit has started. But in the overall achievement, I would say that it will take another means 1.5 to 2 years' time from now, and we will get the total benefit. Approximately 100 crores will get added to the bottom line because of that. Vacuum salt, which is again a very big initiative we have taken, and this will get completed by December 24 to March 25. The project has already been given, the basic engineering has been given to a world's largest technology company on this. Where I would like to highlight is one of the biggest advantages we are going to get in this project is we are going to produce the vacuum salt from the waste heat. And that will have a very significant advantage to again to our bottom line. Approximately around 50 to 60 crores will be the number which will get added to the bottom line once that project gets completed. So far as the sodium bicarbonate, as you rightly said, sodium bicarbonate will also have a significant advantage. However, currently your flue gas treatment, some project of NTPC has already started. They are now adding two more power plants into that. Even we have recently came to know that even some of the three private power producers in UP also is getting added. So probably I would say that next year, probably you will see a significant advantage of the sodium bicarbonate, and again that number could be in the range of around 30 to 40 crore rupees will get added to the bottom line. And in terms of other initiatives, you see, one of the biggest initiatives we are taking is we are challenging all our costs, and I think on the energy, and that also of course probably again 30 40 crore rupees will get added because of those initiatives. We have hired a global experts on that, and he's helping us to challenge the various costs on the existing plant. So probably all these things will get added. Some benefit you will see of these will coming into the next year.
Okay, understood, sir. So just to clarify, sir, even if let's say price has to come down from current level, all these initiatives are in addition to what we are doing currently. What you mentioned now, if I add up everything, it is close to 250 to 300 odd crores over next, let's say, two years or so. So is that a fair thing to consider?
100%. I think you will start getting some benefit this year itself, number one. And the larger portion will come, as you rightly said, like vacuum salt you will be getting in 25-26, entire amount will come in. And your salt, I said, some benefit is there, and maybe after 1.5 to 2 years you will get the full benefit of the salt. And this cost reduction project, some benefit will come this year and some portion will come next year also. So as you very rightly assumed, in next 2 years, this kind of amount will get added into the bottom line.
So my second question is on capital allocation. If I just add up the cash flows over the next 3 years, large part of your greenfield capex, I understand, will happen in the second half of your 3 year period. Which means that the substantial cash flow generation has to be like what will be the will you build up cash so that you are not required to borrow, or you will keep your historical like 50-60% debt and 40% cash? How will the funding happen for the new project? And the cash will be substantial. So dividend buyback and any inorganic acquisition also, in case if you are planning, your past track record has been quite good. So just trying to understand how should one think about this.
No, as you rightly said, three things which are important, which I have always been maintaining on that. We have to keep a balance between three things: growth, debt equity, and the third is rewarding the shareholders. And the similar line will continue to have that. We have very clearly articulated our debt position, 1:1. And by all this imagination of this project which is happening, we will maintain that 1:1 ratio. Surplus cash, of course, on inorganic, as you rightly said, is in radar. We are looking at various opportunities. Unfortunately, till now, we have not been able to lay hands on a kind of a project which we believe we can create a value for the shareholders. But the search is on that. And then the buyback, I have already said, the dividend, you know our track record in the past. We'll continue to maintain that buyback and dividend to reward the shareholders. So these three initiatives will continue, and we'll keep a very fair balance on the capital allocation to ensure that we achieve all these three objectives together.
And sir, last part is some of the non-core assets which we had in the combined entity earlier. Has it gone to GSTL Textile, or is it a part of GSTL Limited only?
It has gone to the GSTL Textile.
Okay. Understood. And we are going to host separate calls for GSTL Textiles, right?
Not this time. We are not. We will have next time. This time we are not planning to have any call on that. So if you have any question on that, probably I don't mind answering here, one or two questions, but we will have the call next time.
Okay, sir. Great. All the best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. In continuation to your reply, sir, if you could give us some color on how the textile has performed, so that will suffice. The numbers are there now. So if you could give us some color and the trajectory which you are carving out for the remaining 9 months of the year.
See, Saketji, as you rightly said, the numbers at this time has not been good if you look at it on a standalone basis. But if you compare this with the probably the industry, I think numbers are not bad. This industry has been on an upsurge in the COVID period, and you have seen that 2021-22 as well as some portion in the, I would say, the first two quarters of 2022-23 was also very good. Subsequently, there was a downward trend. Demand has disappeared, if I can use the right word. On the other side, the cotton prices was on the peak. So because of that, the margin has been kind of almost came to the level of zero. Now, things are a little bit improving now, I would say that. This is a rock bottom because on one side, the cotton prices has stabilized now. And inventory in the pipelines are almost zero because the people were expecting that the prices will go down, and therefore they were kind of keeping a minimum inventory of the yarn. So now that is also, now the people are getting a confidence that now these prices are on a lowest level. Demand for the global place also, some upturn we are seeing in that, therefore. So probably in after one or two quarters, I think you will see a kind of a significant improvement into the textile business.
So going ahead, Q2, Q3 should be on the same note. That is, this is what we can envisage, looking at what the environment is and with the destocking and other parameters kicking in. I think the margins are low because of disproportionate expenses also, sir, if we take that into context.
No, but you see, like I said, the things you will start seeing some betterment in the Q2 also, then some betterment in the Q3 also. But full potential probably will happen after that, because by the time we are assuming that the demand revival will happen. You see, basically it is mainly impacted by the US and the Europe demand. Indian demands are now recovering, and so probably I would say that after two quarters you will see a significant improvement.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. And apologies, I joined the call late, so the question might have been discussed earlier. So first question on the power and fuel cost. So have we started gaining the entire benefit of lower coal prices or fuel prices from current quarter, or will there be any further benefit which will be there Q2 as well? Thank you.
Well, definitely there will be benefit will be there because we have not been able to capture the entire benefit of the lower prices. And I think after 2 quarters, because generally these kind of raw materials you keep for 6 months. So probably you will see that, and the prices has continuously fallen. So probably after 2 quarters you will see the full potential coming into the place. But yes, some benefit has been captured.
Right. So second question is from the imports perspective, and particularly from China. So have we seen any different set of dynamics over the last couple of months in terms of overall imports, and anything new which is happening in China? Because we have seen across the board China has been dumping the material in the global market. So what's your sense on soda ash? I'm sorry if I'm repeating the question again.
No problem. You see, basically, as you rightly said, in soda ash, we are not seeing the China as a very aggressive player. Even in my opening remark also I have said that Chinese inventories are at a very low level, and their demand and supply is almost like a balance. So therefore, at this point of time, we are not seeing very aggressive import coming in from China. The major increase in the import which has happened to India in the first quarter, or in this quarter, is primarily from Turkey and US, and some portion from the Russia as well.
Right, got it, sir. Thanks a lot for answering the question. If I have any more, I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, and thank you very much for the follow-up. So if you're looking at the basic drivers for growth in profits in FY24 and then FY25, apart from the benefits you expect from your cost savings initiatives, which is fair enough, is there any growth in volume we can build in, so it's for FY24 and then FY25, or will it be mostly driven by, say, improvement in realizations in soda ash and then some of the cost savings reflecting in the P&L, say, with a lag effect? How do we see the growth trajectory in terms of the P&L based on these key drivers?
See, like I said, in terms of the overall the cost initiatives or the new project of a your vacuum salt or the salt yield, sodium bicarbonate, which we have just discussed, you will see as compared to 24-25 will have a jump into the volume, primarily because, as you know, some of the volume we have lost in this year. And we have an annual shutdown also in October 23, and that will also have some impact on our volume. However, we will not have these issues in the 24-25. So therefore, there could be around 50-60,000 tons, which is almost around, you can say, 5-6% of the volume growth will happen in 24-25.
This is in FY25 volume growth.
24-25.
Okay, FY25. Okay. And so in terms of the lagged impact of the reduction in energy costs and freight costs, should we wait for the fourth quarter, or will you see some of that occur in the third quarter? Because you said it will take about 2 months for you to get the benefit of the new inventory at the current cost.
Like I said, energy is a basic raw material where some benefit will start. You have seen in this quarter also some benefit has come. This benefit will be there in the next quarter, and this will be, but full potential will come only in the fourth quarter.
Okay, just one last thought, if I may. In terms of your capital cost for the greenfield expansion for 325,000, I understand about 3,000 crores. So if you work based on the current EBITDA per ton, I'm getting a return on capital at the EBITDA level of around 10%. So how do you see the economics of that project based on the, you know, capital cost and the return on capital? What is the kind of target you have in terms of ROC there?
See, actually, very, very right question you have asked. You see, when we have taken this calculation of the greenfield project, we have taken on the basis of a long-term EBITDA margin which has been generated on this project, on the existing project. And based on that, we have done that. And the IRR is coming around 16%, 17%. Because in this project, please understand one thing, we have to kind of look at this project as in, of a life cycle of more than 100 years. So keeping everything into mind, the return on IRR is coming to around 17%. And we have given, like I said, we have taken a long-term EBITDA margin on that. We have not taken an upside on the margin. Whereas historically, if I go back, if I look at the 15 years of the data of our numbers, you will see that the EBITDA per ton has gone up year by year. We have not factored that also into account. So keeping everything into mind, and third, see, you have to be always in the business and you have to keep on investing into the business, which we have been doing over a period. You have seen that I think we are the only player where we have continuously made an investment into our business, and which has given a kind of a number of the profitability what we have. So keeping that into mind, I think this project definitely justifies of an investment.
Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. You see, basically, I just wanted to kind of close my comments with a remark that in this business, we have seen the last 15, 20 years, this business has been quite stable. Some small blip has happened in quarter-to-quarter basis, but in the long run, the margins are a very range-bound margin, which is ranging from 28% to kind of a 34-35% kind of a margin. Very consistent margin in this business in spite of a lot of volatility. Of course, in this business, we have not seen major volatility in the last 15-20 years. This volatility or the reduction which you are seeing is primarily because in 21-22, after 21-22, 22-23 was a kind of an abnormal period. And in that abnormality, the supply chain was completely globally disturbed. That has given a kind of an enhanced margin, which is now, in a way, I would call it, is coming to the level of natural margins. And this kind of a margin will be maintained in this business. And I'm sure that that we will be able to do the good work on the cost side, on the supply chain cost-wise, and innovation-wise, and keep on investing the money into the business to grow the business. And that initiative will continue to create a value for our shareholders. With this word, thank you very much for participation.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.